1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. And actually, according to what we have there, we'll finish chapter 1 next week. I heard some grumblings back there about we'll do 1 John 1, 9 in 1 week. And actually, you know, there's a thought. You know, if there was enough interest, we certainly could slide the schedule and we could go longer. So we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, obviously, 1 John 1, 9 and the accompanying verses 10, 8 and 10 are certainly significant verses in Scripture. As you'll find today, these are tremendous verses too. So, all right. Actually, before we go reading 5 through 7 here, I found a couple little things, interesting things. Dr. Wiest, in his volume 2 of his word study, kind of pointed out there were a couple of heresies that he felt were addressed in 5 through 7. So I thought I'd just mention those. I just put them both up at the same time. Basically, the first one is that there's this notion that there's evil in God. I think Josiah sort of alluded to that a little bit, the idea that somehow Christ really wasn't deity at his birth. He was something less than deity. So that notion was kind of there in the heresy. And then the second item is that you may be in fellowship with God but still live in sin. And that seems to be part of the idea that you somehow abuse your body or you deny yourself or, you know, there's several extremes in that you can go. I'll take in all these pleasures to, you know, as one aspect and deny yourself as another aspect. So I think actually the verses will address both of those today. Okay, so actually, can I get somebody to read maybe let's see, 1 through 7, 1 John 1 through 7, just to get the whole thing in context here. Someone would volunteer to do that.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Thanks, Brad. Okay, so we're into these three verses today, and the first verse is going to kind of connect it with the previous verse because we're going to see about this repetitive phrase. This is a message we've heard from Him. And so let's just kind of jump into that verse 5 here. So basically, this is a message we've heard from Him. And if you look back from what Brad has read, you'll see there's kind of a pattern, if you will. In verse 1, it says, we have heard what and what. What is what referred to? You folks remember from the... Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. Okay. We have heard. Remember, and this heard is in this thing called the perfect tense, which means that it occurred in the past, but the results are still up into the present. So that's Wiest translates that it's ringing in their ears. So they heard it, and it's ringing in their ears. We have heard what the Lord Jesus said, and we're still remembering it, still hearing it. And then the next one that occurs in there is a sight thing. We have seen with our eyes, and that's also the same idea, present tense. They saw it in the past, and they continue to see it. They seem to remember it. And that's not so unusual if you think we see things in the past, and the memories are still there. So I think John's accurately portraying that. Then another kind of this look is a perception or a gazing intently and touching with our hands the Lord Jesus. And then we have seen. If you notice, they're all past tense. They're all occurred in the past, and some have results up into the present, and some, I think actually they all do. And another phrase that occurs in verse 2 is that we have seen the eternal life, speaking of the Savior again. And then in verse, I think one that Josiah did last week, we have seen and heard. If you notice, I wanted to, actually, we're not quite there yet. So, heard occurs again, and once again, it's a perfect tense. They're still hearing it, still ringing in their ears. And then today, we kind of transition. It's interesting, what they heard and remembered was about the Lord Jesus himself. Now they're going to transition, they're going to remember something he said. We have heard from him the message, and we're going to learn what the message is. And it's a wonderful message. But it's kind of cool that they remember who he was, what they touched him, they interacted with him, but now we have heard, and this also is the perfect tense, so we'll see shortly here. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so it says, this is the message we've heard from him and announced to you. So if you look at the context of that clause there, you'll see that there's really two, it's like a compound verb here. We have heard and we announce. So basically, we have heard from him the message. And the second part, we announce to you the message. So that compound verb. And in this case, the verb is this pretty familiar verb in the Greek, kouo. So I have the transliteration and I have the Greek, as per request. and it's a perfect tense to hear, and the perfect tense, so it means you heard in the past and you're still hearing it. And announce is angelio. It's the idea to bring back a report. And actually, this is the point where I just like to look at a couple of verses here. I thought this idea, you heard a message and you're announcing it. There's kind of a pattern there that you see in other places. Paul makes a similar statement. Could someone read 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a pretty familiar verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread.
Thank you. Okay, so you see, in this case, it's he received from the Lord. So, Paul personally interacted with the Lord Jesus, right? And he delivered to us. So it's sort of a similar thing. The message was heard and then announced. And in this passage, it was basically received and then delivered. So I thought that kind of interesting parallel there. And then also, in terms of announced, that's the idea to bring back a report, to bring back good tidings, that kind of thing. And there's a passage in Acts that I think kind of is interesting. Acts 15. Acts 15, if someone could read that, and verse 4.
And when they had arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them.
Okay. And this word reported in New American Standard is the same word we have as announced here. It's to bring back. So they, in this context, they were reporting about what God had been doing. They were reporting when they arrived at Jerusalem. Okay, so I'm going to go on here. And then the word message is angelia. It's a proclamation. And okay, so now I want to, let's see here. So, okay, what's the message? Well, what's the message from verse 5? What's the message? You get extra points, you realize. Go ahead. Excellent, excellent. All right. Okay. So the message, basically, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So basically, in this case, this is a very neat, there are so many passages like this in Scripture. God is something. God is love. God is light. Talking about his character, his essence. And this is what's called an essence verb. The state in which something continuously exists. So this is saying, and actually the construction is God is a subject, is as a verb, and light is the, I'm getting ahead of myself here. And light is what's called the subject complement. So basically, it identifies God. It identifies God as being light. And also, it's a state. God continuously exists as light. He can be nothing else. It's really speaking of his holiness. God is holy. He's pure. He's light. Okay. And the word for light is actually the word we get, the English word is phosphorus, or phos, and the word to give light. And I have several verses here that the Scripture has a lot to say about God in terms of light. It talks about the glory of God in 1 Timothy 6:16. And then in our verses, I think it's talking about His very essence, His very nature. And then in James 1:17, about the there's no shadow of turning, you know, His impartiality. And there's actually another one I didn't have in there about the Lord Jesus. You know, He said, "I am the light of the world." So the idea, and there's actually, we could do a lot more. We could really expand that and carry that out significantly, but you know, Scripture has a lot to say about in terms of light, kind of contrasting the light and the darkness. Okay. All right. Okay, so now let's do there's no darkness at all. And actually, this is actually part of the compound statement. There's a statement that God is light, and at the same time, He's not darkness. So if you look at it, it's a compound verb. Is a verb in both cases. And it's ame, he is at the same time light and not darkness. And actually we're going to see it's very, very specific about darkness. And it's interesting, also I thought it's interesting, he just didn't stop and he's light. It excludes any darkness. That's excluded from the equation. God cannot be darkness. Josiah?
You said it earlier, but the fact that God doesn't have any sin in Him is one of the unique characteristics of both Judaism and Christianity, because paganism had had gods who were evil, and it's kind of amusing to read some of the
right.
Some of like the ancient Sumerian or Akkadian documents about their account of the creation of the world, because they have these gods who are evil,
right.
Who are like killing each other.
Right, there's wars. Yeah, that's great.
And they create the world.
So John, he goes to great lengths to just totally exclude there's any possibility of anything to do with darkness, and that God is totally light, totally holy. So, I mean, it's just really, you know, it's incredible. Okay, so let's look at the... And basically, God is not darkness in Himself at all. And again, it's ame. So He continuously exists, not being darkness. I'm not sure how you say it exactly, but... Darkness is used in Scripture a lot of spiritual moral darkness, or it's emblematic of sin, as we have light and darkness, good and evil. Okay, and actually, what's interesting is that this at all is not even one, and actually it's a compound word. It's not the word for not and the word for one. The like if you count 1, 2, 3, so it's not one, or actually not even one. So there's not even any dark, not even one part. Actually, we have it's not even one particle of darkness. So God is light, and not even one particle of darkness, simultaneously 24/7 for all eternity, which is wonderful. So this is the message, right? This is a message that John. They heard from the Lord, and they're proclaiming, announcing to us. Okay. All right. So now, as someone has said, now we get personal. So now he's gonna move from. He declared who the Lord Jesus is, you know, and that they interacted with Him, they saw Him, they handled Him, and that He is light and not darkness, not even one little bit. And now he's going to talk about our relationship to the Lord Jesus. And he's going to talk about these. And this is one of the first occurrences here, and we're going to see more. In fact, next week we're going to have a whole bunch of these conditional sentences where there's an if-then kind of situation, and it's conditioned upon our response to the Lord, our walking with Him. So, okay. All right, so let's go on here. Okay, so actually I wanted to kind of rearrange this this verse a little bit and put this little clause here, we lie and do not practice the truth. So really, if you look carefully, that is kind of the subject of the rest of this little clause, because that actually says that's what we're doing if we walk in darkness. If we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we do the following here, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, at the same time walk in darkness. Another compound verb again. So if we're doing the bottom two statements, we lie and we don't practice the truth. I was going to ask, does someone have? We'll get there. We'll get there. Just wait here a second. Okay, so that's. Once a compound verb, we say and we walk. So, I'm losing it here. Walk the talk or talk the walk. how's it go?
Walk the talk.
Walk the talk. I had it right. For some reason, it didn't sound right. Anyway, so that popular saying you hear, this is basically it.
Practice
what you preach, right? Anyway, okay, good. All right, so now we're going to look at the bottom part first. We lie and do not practice the truth. Lie comes from the word pseudomai, to deceive by lies. Practice is to make or to do. I was going to ask, does someone have the King James? Can they read this verse in the King James, if somebody happens to have it?
What verse you want?
Verse 6.
King James.
Yeah.
If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Do not the truth.
Yeah, okay. So actually, New Mexico has practice, but the word is literally to do or just do. So we're to do the truth. So you don't find that the practice, I don't know, it's interesting how decisions are made about words. And, as you start looking at the original, you think, all it says is just do it. So I don't see the practice idea. Anyway, whatever. It's just okay, so then there's some verses that I thought were really important here. Hebrews 6:18. And this kind of speaks of basically, the fact that God, in His very nature, it's impossible for Him to lie. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. So if it's impossible for God to lie, if we say we're having fellowship with Him, we got a problem. So there's some other verses here. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Your very nature, when you became a believer, you moved from darkness to light. Lying is not part of who you are in Christ. It's not part of the new life. It's part of the old life. And then Romans 9:1, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. That's Paul declaring. So lying is not part of the Christian life. Now, that's not to say we don't. And we're going to see, and that's part of the issue here. And in fact, that's why we're going to see this wonderful provision in verse 7. Okay, now we're going to do the top part. If we say, so this is the conditional part. So this is a condition by what the bottom part will be true. So if we are saying that we have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, then the bottom will be true. Okay. Sure.
About God is light, and yet there is no instance of darkness in God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we bring this over to say that if we say we have fellowship with mm-hmm. Him and yet walk in darkness, because we are all sinners, we all sin,
mm-hmm.
we all need to repent, and our walk with Christ is a transforming process from the time we accept the Lord mm-hmm. as our personal Savior. This almost seems like we're saying that if we're going to sin, then we're not walking and having fellowship with Christ. So I'm a little confused, because you have to weigh this verse against the rest of Scripture.
Right, and actually, we're going to do that. I think we're going to answer your question a lot. And this is a key point, because we're talking about fellowship here, which is really key. We have to keep this. So just see if we'll get to your point here.
Roger?
Sure.
What's your definition of darkness?
It's evil, sin.
Other than...
In this context, in this context here.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I think it's emblematic of. Light and darkness, good and evil, you know, it's unholiness. Okay, all right. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so now we're going to get a little bit, this might be a little bit technical, I don't know. But I think it's important. There's in the Greek, there are four kinds of sentences. In fact, actually, I need to jump to the other part. Now, let me just, I'm just going to jump past all this stuff here. Okay, in the Greek, when you see an if in Scripture, have you ever seen ifs in Scripture? You have, right? So, you know, when you see an if, you say, okay, if I do something, then something else will happen. Well, in some cases in Scripture, it's what's called a first-class condition. It's assumed, for the sake of argument, to be true. So the if, sometimes people will scratch out and they'll put since. So you've probably seen that, maybe like in Colossians, I think is an example, where it states something about the believer, and it's assumed to be true that I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ by my new birth. So that's an example of a first-class condition, assumed to be true for the sake of argument. Second class is the opposite, assumed to be untrue for the sake of argument. And then third class is our case in the verses we're going to see. Actually, the rest of chapter 3 are all these conditional ones. And the fulfillment is uncertain, but still likely. So we're going to see it says, walk in the light. We may walk in the light, but we may not. The Lord's desire is that we do walk in the light. So the verses are what is called third class. It's uncertain, but likely. So that's just kind of a little... And there's a bunch, and there's actually ways to recognize what's really cool in the Greek. I'm not really super duper on it, but you look in the helps and you can figure out just by looking at the words used. Let's just go back. Okay. Whenever you see the if, and it happens to be that Greek word, eon, I think it's right, eon? Yeah, right, eon. And the verb we say is subjunctive mood, then that tells you, boom, right there, third class condition. I mean, it's wonderful. God has laid it out, and it's that way. I mean, I don't know enough Greek to, you know. When I understand it, it's always that way. The construction is always that way. When you have the if with the subjunctive mood, it's always that way. Now, another little diversion here for a second. The subjunctive mood, I hope this isn't, you know, this is be too much, you tell me. The question of reality comes into play. If I say, I see a child, and the child's running, and I write down, the child runs. If I'm God, and I write that down, we know with absolute certainty that that's true. If he says that he's love, he's light, we know with absolute certainty that's true. And that's called the indicative mood, the mood of reality. When God states something, it's real, because he said it. There's actually four moods in the Greek. There's a reality mood, which is indicative. You'll see many of the statements about our position in Christ are all indicative mood. We're seated with him in the heavenlies. He'll never leave us or forsake us, and so on. Just tons of indicative moods. But there's actually another mood, which is this called subjunctive mood, which is probability. So, and this is where this third class condition, at least from what I can tell, kind of comes into play. And it's the mood of probability. Probable result, but likely. So that's just a little, there's actually two more, but we'll leave that for a later time. So we have imperative, which states absolutely, categorically. So an example that I saw in one of the books I was reading, it said, the child runs. Subjunctive would be, if the child runs, something will happen. So that's kind of the difference. And okay, let's go on. So here we are to walk. So we have a conditional thing, we're to walk, and walking is this word, peripateo. It basically signifies, it's more than just walking physically, obviously, right? It's our whole conduct of our Christian life, the whole round of activities, how we conduct our life. Okay, and there's many admonitions in Scripture about our walk. We're to walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And it says, for you are still fleshly. This is kind of a correction. It says, you're still walking fleshly. You are not walking like mere men. So God's desire is that we walk in the light. We walk in fellowship with Him. So that's His desire. But we may not do that. We may walk in darkness. That's the other possibility. Okay, we'll get past that. Okay, now I think this is going to address Vicki's question a little bit. In Scripture, we'll see truths that are called positional truths, truths that talk about us once we become a believer in the Lord Jesus. They talk about, for example, one says, we're seated in Ephesians, we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. It says we have every spiritual blessing. It makes these direct statements, and usually indicative mood, unchangeable. God has done it. God has accomplished it. We haven't done. All we've done is believe in the Lord Jesus. They're eternal, unchangeable. So those body of truths are what's called our position or our standing. Then there's a body of truths that are what I call conditional. And this is our moment-by-moment walk. You know, this 1 John chapter 1 and the verses we're going to talk about now are the conditional aspect of our walk, like you were talking about, Vicki. So we're secure, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, but we may not walk in relationship to who we are. We may walk contrary. If I'm an American and I go over to some other country and I act like the enemy, I'm not an American anymore. I'm the enemy. So, you know, we the Lord desires that we walk as who we are. And that's temporal, unchangeable. Temporal, changeable. So you got to distinguish, and you got to ask that question. We look at Scripture. This is one of the big ways to go through Scripture and look at it. Say, is this talking about my position in Christ or my condition in Christ? So these verses are talking about our condition in Christ. And God's desire is that we walk in the light. He doesn't want to walk in darkness at all. And He has a remedy when we do walk in darkness. And we're going to see that coming up here in 1 John 1:9. We're going to see one of the remedies for that. Okay. All right. So now we're down to the cooler part. Cooling. That's it. I don't know that. Okay. All right. So, okay, let's just... But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And once again, we're going to see that the subject of this whole thing, that's really the subject of that whole verse. A big subject, right? The subject is fellowship. And actually two parts, I'm sorry. It's a dual subject here. Fellowship and this cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus. What's really wonderful is, you know, we think about becoming a believer, and all of us have it, you know, pretty clear in our minds. When I became a believer, I trusted the Lord that He paid for my sins. That's a done deal. I paid for, He did that. Well, His blood just didn't stop there. His blood continues to work. And this is what this verse says. And we're going to see His blood continues to work right now, 24/7. And that's the only way we can have fellowship. So your question about how can we have fellowship? If His blood wasn't cleansing us, it would be history. We can never do it. His blood continuously cleanses us. And we're going to see the Greek is just really, you know, tremendous here. So I think that's how we can have fellowship. Otherwise, we couldn't have fellowship. Okay. And then the verbs are down here. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we walk as the main verb. And it's in the subjunctive mood again, the mood of probability. Okay. So now we're going to look at the last part first, or the subject part first. We have fellowship with one another. Let's see. Okay. All right. So actually, this is the Wiest rendering of that. things in common, and thus fellowship, the believer and God are having with one another. You remember back when Josiah covered back in way long time ago last week, we covered the fact that the believer in verse 3, it talks about the fact that We have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. So our fellowship is with God, and then we're fellowshipping with God, and then we can have fellowship with one another. That's what I think is being said there. Now, the other part of this, to have that fellowship, this cleansing operation has to be in place. And the cleansing is to make clean. It's in the indicative mood, present tense, active voice. Okay, so let's see. What does that mean? Okay, indicative mood is a statement of reality. So God is saying that His blood is cleansing, and that's a reality. It's really cleansing right now. And it's in the present tense. So that's happening right now, 24/7, and it's in the active voice. And the active voice says the subject, the blood of Jesus, is performing the action. It's the blood of Jesus is doing the cleansing. 24/7, His blood is cleansing us. So, I mean, that's an incredible statement. That if the top part of that verse is true, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one, and His blood, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And actually, what's even, He really nails it down here. This is the word pass in the Greek, all is pass. It's everyone, none excluded.
It looks to me like if you walk in the light, you're saying if you're living without sin. If you're living without sin, why do you have to have cleansing? Because you're living without sin.
Hey, that's a good question. That's a good question.
That's what it looks like. Because if you're walking in the light,
yeah, so what you're saying is that if...
Why do you need cleansing?
Right.
If you live without sin, you're already cleansed.
Anybody have an answer?
I guess we need to know what that if means. What condition of...
Okay, actually, we're going to say that. We're going to see that. Okay. Okay, that's good.
I know there's things that believer does that he's ignorant of, but still...
Right, that's a good point.
And there's still sin.
Fellowship because he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
with
sinning without knowing, then he's not walking into light.
Well,
there's a little darkness in that.
No, it's not.
If he's just sinning, it's darkness.
Well, if he's sinning, okay, I see your point from that.
But it's not saying the believer is the light. He's walking in the light.
Right. Right. And that's an important thing to remember. The believer does not become God, right? God is light, right? We're walking in fellowship with Him, right? We're walking in who He is and what He's done, right? So we don't become God. You wouldn't have a problem with that, right?
No problem at all. I'm just taking
it. Okay. All right. Well, let's go on and answer the question about the we're going to get to the second part here. We'll see if
question.
What's that?
What's your definition of walk?
Okay, we're going to see that. It's coming up. Okay, once again, here's walk. It's the peripateo. Actually, we have the definition. Walking.
It's
not
this walk.
Mm-hmm. No.
Walk.
Walk actually, if you want to see what we had, is back.
Maybe I missed it.
No, it was back here earlier.
How we conduct our lives.
Yep, thank you. Right there. Signifies the whole round of activities of the individual. That in Scripture, I think that's what it means. That's how we conduct our lives, right? So, if we're... Right.
How we conduct our lives.
Right. Just like that. Okay. All right. That's one of the disadvantages of this. Okay. Okay, we get through all this. Okay. Once again, the if is the third class condition. So what does that mean? And subjunctive mood. What does that mean?
Probability,
right. So we may walk in the light, we may not walk in the light. I think that's part of what is part of an answer to what you're saying. Because we may or may not do that, I think the second part is in place. So as we walk in the light, we then can have fellowship. I see what you're saying. You're saying, well, it seems like if we're in the light, it's a done deal. over with. But we don't always do that. We don't, as we saw before, may walk in darkness. So with this probability mood here, walking is a probability. We may walk in the light. God's desire that we do, but we may not. Oops. Okay. Walk in the light. Okay, actually, I'm going to... Okay, what is walk in the light? Actually, we're going to get to Doug's question here. Okay. I think there's... in Scripture, there's several parallel phraseology that's used in Scripture. If walking in the light, and it is, if walking is conducting your life, how we conduct our life in terms of the Lord, then there's other phraseology. Like in John 15:4, it says, Christ says, abide in me, and I in you. He says, basically, abide is this word, meno in the Greek. It's to be at home with the Lord, to hang out with the Lord. We're to be at home with Him. If you're walking with Him, you're abiding with Him. You're in fellowship with Him. They're all kind of parallel ideas. And then actually in Galatians it says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And once it'll be the same kind of point you made. If we're walking in the Spirit, you notice that he'll put the positive in there, and he'll say, well, when that's true, you won't be carrying out the desires of the flesh. So the positive is in view there, obviously. He desires to walk in the walking by the Spirit. And it says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So walking in the light is our Christian life. It's how we conduct our life in fellowship with Him. Okay. All right. And the what I want to do is take a little... this may not be a diversion, but maybe hopefully this will be amplification. If we look at God's plan of salvation, we'll see that this walking in the light kind of fits into His plan of salvation. And salvation just doesn't end the moment we believe. Scripture talks about salvation in terms of the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense. So in the past, we'll just kind of work through that. Let me just see. So, what? Let me just see. I want to say this. What occurred in the past that, in terms of salvation with each believer? Yeah, you can look ahead too. Okay, the cross happened in the past, and what happened in terms of the believer?
Justified, declared righteous.
We believe. Okay, right. So, all right, good. So basically, we in the past we have salvation. We were judged, you know, from our birth in Adam. We were already under judgment. We were, so we were saved from the penalty of sin. Basically, salvation in the past is a holy past occurrence. It's complete and unchanging for the one who believed. It's irreversible. And we were changed from we were dead in trespasses and sin, and now we're alive. We're eternal life. If you look here in this pretty familiar verse, for by grace you have been saved. Look at something in the past. You have been saved through faith. It took faith to save you, right? That was your part of the equation. You trusted in the Lord Jesus, and you have been saved. So that's talking about the past aspect of salvation. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He who believes in me has eternal life. I think that actually I hadn't looked at the Greek there, but that's a pretty, I think it's, and has passed all death into life. That's a pretty strong statement. And here the Lord Jesus said, no one shall snatch you out of my hand. So this represents, you know, in some sense, our position. So now, and basically there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's not going to come back and say, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you something. This is something I have against you. No. There's no condemnation. You're in Christ. You're in Him. So you're secure. In the past view of salvation, everything that was done to save you has been done. So you say, well, why don't you just take me to glory. I mean, let's get on with it here. Well, he desires that we live in the present. So what's happening in the present? And we've been talking about the present, right? Haven't we talked about the present? We're to walk in the light. That's where we're at today. We're to walk in the light. So what's occurring here? And this, you know, we're saved from the reigning power of sin. And that's where this wonderful, the blood of Jesus is constantly, as we see, we get to 1 John 1:9, as we confess our sins, it's constantly producing an action, producing the cleansing power. It didn't stop at the cross.
Yeah, and Roger, right there, I think the answer is the
right
question. Exactly. We have to get ahead of it.
Right.
So I think there's a question. But it's when we confess our sins that actual cleansing occurs that prohibited our fellowship.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
yeah. But it's interesting that statement. I had not looked at it that way. And that's a... Go ahead. Yeah, I have the diagram. Yeah, here.
In the diagram, if is a subordinate conjunction,
right.
It's going to stem from the verb.
Right.
And it would probably stem from that we have fellowship to have. We have fellowship with one another if we walk in the light. Right?
Yeah, well, actually, it's a subordinate conjunction. The if is. And the two verbs are we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus is cleansing us. And then that whole thing, if we walk, and all that, is really the subject of those verbs.
So the if does come off both verbs, or would it come
no, actually, it, the if goes actually goes to the to subject in you know in this one here, the one that I've been looking at. It doesn't. The if doesn't have to. we're getting a little, actually. No, that's a good point.
I thought that the subject phrase, we have fellowship with one another, if we walk in the light, and the blood of Jesus is a separate coordinated conjunction, kind of combining the whole.
Wait, if you want, I'll show you the one that I use. Now I can't get, and I haven't really...
The way I had it reminded me, it would have been the if would come off the blood of Jesus. It would come off.
The if actually ties into but actually. We have to go back there in a second. Maybe we can go back there in just a second. Okay. All right. Okay. So in the present tense of salvation, which is kind of what we're all about in 1 John here, salvation from the reigning power of sin, we're to walk by faith. And actually what's wonderful is the Lord, you know, if you think about it, the Lord has a twofold approach to the believer not walking with him, walking contrary to him. We can do it before the fact or after the fact. His desire is that we do it after the fact. We're to walk by faith. We're to in Romans it says we're to reckon ourselves dead. We're to reckon that we don't have to sin. That's a volitional choice. We choose to do that. So we're in this mode for salvation. We're being saved from the power of the sin nature to being alive in God. And there's several verses here in Romans 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with. And it's done away in the sense it was put in idle, not annihilated. And it says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We're to see ourselves, a dead man can't interact with sin. We're to see ourselves dead to sin. And we're separated from sin, and Christ accomplished that in the cross. And this body of truths, and Mike's having a class right now about the identification truths. That's the whole body of the present aspect of salvation. And the future one is our glorious. We go home to be with the Lord, basically. Salvation from the present. We'll be present with the Lord, full conformity, from the presence of the sin nature to absence of sin nature.
Uh-huh. If we don't walk in the light, then is his blood still cleansing us?
Well, okay.
If we're walking in the light, then his blood still cleanses us. But what if we're not? If we don't always, then is his blood still cleansing us anyway? I don't know. Is that the question? Is that something you were asking?
I that was sort of.
I'm thinking it's like it says.
Yeah.
If we walk in the light, if you say that it's the third class,
mm-hmm.
then you're saying that it's possible to do that.
It's possible not to do that. This is saying that walking in the light is...
That's the second class. Assuming that it's untrue.
No. Well, I'm assuming this is likely.
Okay.
It's likely that every believer will walk in the light as he himself is in the light. But they may not. There may be occasion when they may not do that. That's my understanding of the third class condition.
My question is,
okay.
Since we're assuming that I can do that, why in the world did I need any more cleansing?
I think part of it you just hit up on. Since this is not a first class, this is not a, if it was first class, it says we walk in the light as he's in the light. That's it. I mean, there's no. But this is saying.
You'd have to scratch out the second part. That's
right. Exactly. Because this is most likely, but it may not be true. This is stating, I believe, what God's remedy is for the case when you don't fulfill that.
Roger.
Yeah.
Jumping ahead.
Sure.
Can you answer that in verse 9?
Well, verse 9. Yeah, actually, Josiah made a good point. If you look at, you know, in the way we kind of divide things up, this verse maybe, we have all these if statements starting now. We have, and we're going to talk about, if we say we have no sin nature, and that we're going to cover a lot of topics in terms of sin. And this really, some people have grouped it with the other verses, so we kind of chopped it off, and so we're going to get a chance to, so 1 John 1:9 is obviously there. I mean, that is the mechanism by which if we have sinned, God wants us to come and agree with Him we have sinned. And that's when we come back to this one and we say, hey, you know, His blood is continually cleansing us. But it has to be, there has to be a reason for it cleansing us. I mean, you know. Fellowship, yeah, actually in the...
Fellowship with God.
Well, okay, actually I did. Remember I talked about other ways to look at... fellowship is a sharing in common, right? Remember it says there back in verse 3, it says that if you read back in verse 3, it says, so you two may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father. It's a sharing in common. Fellowship is a sharing in common. And that's what I think is so tremendous about this verse. It says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with God requires that we be equals. We be on an equal basis.
Also, and I might be way off in this, my body the water more, so I don't speak from a position of authority, but at the same time, the word walk, this peripateo, it's not focused on particular action. It's not focused on something you did yesterday. You sinned yesterday. Well, that's not your walk. That's just something you did. That's an action of sin. That's what we need to be cleansed from. But our whole walk is our daily thing. We will stumble, we will fall, we will make mistakes, and we will sin particularly. But as we walk out of our position, our day-to-day choices, the whole character of the way we conduct our lives can be in the light. Even if our initial particular actions, even if I get angry and curse or, you know, shout at April or whatever, my walk is something much larger than any one moment. The way I conduct my life in every aspect, in every word, in every thought, in every deed, and as our whole conditional walk is changed, we will be cleansed continually from our particular sins that may not be in consistency with our position or our regenerated walk. Does that muddy the water or clarify it at all?
I think this is what Amory was trying to say.
Sure.
And it says right. This verse is teaching we have fellowship.
Uh huh.
In the subordinating clause, the condition relates to our fellowship. But the verse then also says, mm-hmm. Kai, and the blood cleanses us from all sin. So mm-hmm. It's like it's saying two things.
Well, thank you. And we'll carry on next week with 1 John 8, 9, and 10. A week on these. It's important verses. Well, thank you.